Welcome back to Dating Games, a modern relationships podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Temps, and our guest this week is a fellow podcaster who is at the forefront of mental health conversations in Canada with their funny and creative approach to often sensitive topics. This person is also a friend who I honestly don't get to catch up with enough, and often when we do, it's just like this on a podcast. So I guess doing that again, please welcome to your ears, Kyle Moore.
What's up, guys? Thank you. But dude, it's so true. I know. I don't know what it is. I feel like I get so caught up in the day to day. But yes, we definitely do need to catch up more. And I'm stoked to be on Dating Games. We were on each other's podcasts and talked a lot of mental health. And Dating Games is, you know, I love to have some fun and have a good laugh talking about some things that are a bit more subtle, you know, in the day to day conversation. So I'm excited for this, man. Big time.
Yeah, absolutely. It is lovely to catch up with you. We were just having a proper like podcast chat off air and getting super meta. And I even listened to an episode of your one earlier where you did something that is a personal ambition of mine of interviewing yourself.
Yeah, dude, so much fun. It was such a fun episode to put together and even just to think through, like to sit down and truly like write out a script of how you would actually, like how I would actually talk to myself, knowing, you know, noting my little like quirks and the things that I say and like the little things, like knowing all of that and then trying to mirror that and back to yourself and how would I react if so. It was really cool, honestly. It actually was like a really fun like mental exercise. Would highly, highly recommend, as long as like, you know, there is an element of like you feel like a bit of a narcissist as you're like sitting there like, let me just compliment myself here real quick, like, oh my god, what a fantastic mustache you're growing. Oh, thank you, sir. It's easy to get caught up in the no, you're the best, no, you're the best, when you're literally just talking to yourself. Or the complete opposite, one of the two.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm glad it's the first one for you, because I think that is a real journey and something that I think part of the reason why I was interested to chat to you on this show, because you have a level of awareness I really appreciate and I find rare in a lot of young men. And I think a lot of people just wouldn't be able to do a podcast interview with themselves that's any way coherent or real. Do you know what I mean? It would just, yeah, you know, for most people, I think if they scripted it, they would script it to say nothing and not open up at all and be paranoid about how they sell themselves and sound like they've got their shit together whilst they're ultimately talking to themselves.
Yeah, well, I think it ties so well into this show because it's literally like the most important relationship in my life right now is the relationship that I have with myself. And it has that positivity, that positive trajectory that I've been on over the past 3 years with this relationship with myself has, you know, bled into my external relationship life, my dating life, things like I was telling you beforehand, like, you know, my dating experiences over the past like couple of years have been like, and I mean, granted, I'm obviously just one side of the story, but like for me, they've been like pretty positive. Like things have been good. And that only started when I started working on the relationship with myself. So like, I love exploring that relationship. And I think sitting down and like actually like asking myself tough questions and being like objective and not trying to hold any kind of like biases towards my answers or how I want to approach something, I thought it was a lot of fun. It was really, really fun. So I think anybody can do that. I just did it in a different form. Like I decided to record it, but I think you can have conversations with yourself in like the mirror every morning. And I think that can be hugely positive. Like, talk to the one person that you spend every single hour of every single day from the day you're born till the day you die. Of course I'm going to talk with that person. I mean, like, what am I just going to like leave them like, you know, in the back corner? They're just like, hey, I'm still here. And you're like, shut up. Like, no, you gotta let them talk.
Yeah. I mean, good luck ignoring them if not.
I tried to for years and it landed me in way too many therapist offices. So, I mean, I might as well let the guy have a say.
All right, so to ramp up the relatability, we're going to go back to a dating experience from before a lot of your dating was going so well and comfortably for you. So tell us about that.
Yeah, it was so funny when I was looking through and trying to think like, what is like an interesting relationship story that I've been through? And I think that one of the ones that stands out the most is the fact that being from like a super small town, rural Canada, like, the idea of dating somebody who was older is something that was like, oh, like, you know, it was very, you know, everyone was just kind of like, oh my God, they're 1 year older than you. Like, how scandalous. And I grew up with that mentality. So I never really like, and granted, I never really exactly hit my prime back in high school, thankfully. it was an interesting thing. And as I went to university and in Toronto, I was exposed to so many more people and so many more kinds of relationships and different dynamics that, you know, people would have amongst one another. And one of these, I guess you can call them dynamics, that sticks out to me was I was working as a server at a restaurant, and this group of young women were in, and, you know, I was coming over to the table and some of them were giggling. And obviously it was, you know, I won't want to pat my own back here, but obviously there was a little, you know, conversations happening at the table that maybe the server was a little cute. And at one point, one of the women goes, "Oh, this is my friend. She thinks you're really cute." And her friend was like blushing. And you could tell she was a little bit embarrassed. And I was like, no, like, you know, your friend's beautiful. I hope you guys are having a great night. And she's like, "Oh, well, like, you know," and the friend was like, "Well, like, you know," very like kind of, I don't know, a little bit awkwardly, was just like, "Oh, well, here's my number. Like, I'd love to like grab a drink sometime." And I was like, "Yeah, you know, that sounds great. Like, I, you know, I love going on dates. I really do, because it's an opportunity to like sit down, chat with somebody new."
A quick side note, had she written the number? Was it pre-written, this number?
This was like take a little, like, I think it was a piece of a napkin, and she asked for my pen, and my like pen that was like in my apron or whatever. Like,
yeah, you couldn't deny that.
No, I mean, like, it's one of those things when she's actually going to like, you know, do that stereotypical like Disney movie, like tear a piece of the napkin off and be like, "Hand me your pen." I was like, "Okay." And yeah, sure enough, got the number. So we texted back and forth for a few days, and you know, she seemed really cool, and she was very attractive. And so I was like, "Yeah, let's go grab some drinks." And so basically we decided, and I think that this kind of plays into the story a little bit, but she was like, "Where do you want to go?" And I was like, "Well, I've actually really been wanting to try this, this wine bar around the corner from my house recently." She goes, "Oh, that sounds great. I love wine, blah, blah, blah." It's like, cool. So we go to this wine bar. I was a little bit dressed up. She was a little bit dressed up. It was like a nice adult date. It wasn't like, "Hey, you know, let's go grab a beer. There's like three for 12 Jager bombs down at like the local pub." Like, it was like, you know, like, let's go sit down, have a meal, like chat, get to know each other. And while we were sitting and chatting, and we were having a great time, the wine was fantastic, and all of a sudden we kind of got in on the topic of high school some way. And I was like, "Oh yeah, like, where, you know, where are you from originally, like, blah, blah, blah." And she was saying, I was like, "Oh, like, I don't know how we got on the topic of high school, but anyway, we started talking about it, and I mentioned that I graduated in 2016, and I remember she kind of like sat back for a sec, and I was like, "Oh, like, is everything okay?" Like, I just didn't know if I had said something wrong. I was a little bit like anxious. I was like, "Oh, like, what's going on?" And she was just like, no, I just thought you would have graduated a little earlier." And I was like, "Oh, how old do you think I am?" And she's like, "I thought you were around like 26. And she's like, "And you are?" And I was like, "I am 20. She was like, "Okay, all right." And you could tell that she was a little bit like taken aback. And so at this point, I'm like, you'd have to be an idiot not to realize that this woman is either like, that this woman's probably older than me based on how she's reacting about my age. And so I was like, "If you don't mind me asking, like, how old?" Because I was like, I don't want to ask this question. Like, but you're obviously put off by the fact that I'm 20. So now I feel like I, you know, based on your reaction, I feel like I am owed.
Yeah, you need the context. You know,
yeah, I want the context of why this is like, you know, why this is, you're putting your nose up in the air. And she goes, "Well, like, you know, I would have graduated high school a couple years before you." And I was like, "Oh, okay, so you're like 25. She's like, no, I'm 30. And I was like, "Oh, like, and for me, like personally, this woman was really attractive. I was like, that's fine by me. The conversation has been really good up until this point. It's not like, you know, there's been a huge like discrepancy where it's like, "Oh, you know, how's work?" And I'm like, "Oh, good. How's yours?" And she's like, "Oh, you know, good. Just throwing my paychecks in a 401k. Like, it was pretty chill. And anyway, let's just say that there was no second date. I think that this woman was looking for something a little bit more than a third year university student to, you know, mess around with. I don't think she wanted boy toy labels being thrown around around the office, her very adult grown up office. So yeah, that was my the one time that I went on a relatively blind date with a woman who ended up being 10 years older than me. And yeah, good times.
Yeah. And it sounds like, I guess pre that, it was a pretty good day and a pretty fun way to meet somebody. I did think when you were talking about how you'd first got her number, that a lot of people would have felt very self-conscious in that situation. I even wonder if you were a server and dealing with a giggly table, if a lot of people would assume like, "Oh, I've done something wrong," or "There's like a stain on my shirt," or something else. But you obviously knew what was up.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the outfits that we had to wear while we were serving at the restaurant that I was working at was like, I had to wear like a tight white dress shirt with like the sleeves rolled up. And like, it was one of those things, like I looked kind of good at work. So when I would go over and it was like a group of all women and they're all just kind of like giggly and being like flirty and being like very, you know, oh, thank you so much. Like talking and being very conversational. I figured it wasn't something where I like, you know, spilled something and they were like laughing at me. I figured it was more kind of like the just giggling at somebody they found cute, hopefully. I mean, and that's the thing, I guess, as a server, like a lot of people who have served in the service industry, like you kind of pick up when people are laughing at you versus like when they're into you or they're going to like ask you like a certain question. You just kind of get a vibe for it. And it was a very positive vibe with that group for sure.
Mm-hmm. Laughing at you versus laughing for you. Love it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So for me, I think I have an example of a story like this, which is the opposite way around. I went on a date with someone where their age wasn't the same as what was on their dating app profile.
Okay. Yeah.
And she did, I think, the right thing in that she told me, I think either in the messaging stage or like as soon as we got on the date, I can't quite remember, but it wasn't like it felt like it had been held from me. It was just a sort of when she set it up, she put in the wrong date or it had linked to her like Facebook, which she didn't have her real date on. How significantly
was this age change?
Well, so here's the thing. I think I hadn't really internalized it, right? Because you obviously, you're swiping away, you take in the brief information you get about somebody, and until you get that match, you're not really retaining it properly. And then obviously you do match and you look at the profile again and you have that reinforcement of, oh yeah, I remember which one you were. And so I think even though she told me, by the time, I think it hadn't fully registered. And it registered far too late, seemingly, because I made some kind of comment about how I was like talking to a mate of mine the other day about how we feel like we're aging out of certain things. And that's quite nice. That like I was thinking as I got older and I sort of felt too old for certain things, that was going to stress me out and make me feel decrepit. And in fact, I'm more like, no, I mean, I don't remember what the example I would have used was, but a more recent one would be TikTok. I love it. I love that you love it. But for me, I have too much social media rather than too little. And I was like, look, this is great. This seems really time consuming. And so I was just like, I don't think I really get TikTok, and that's fine.
Yeah.
So I must have told her some kind of anecdote like that, that sort of came up in the conversation. And I made a kind of reference about, you know, I guess it's a Generation Z thing. And her face kind of changed because that's the generation she's in. And I'm a millennial. And I hadn't realized. So I'd fully, what I thought was like a fun anecdote where we talked about, I don't know how it came up, but it was relevant to the conversation, then turned into, oh yeah, I've got a problem with Generation Z, is what it then sounded like.
Yeah, right. These young whippersnappers.
yeah, then I really did sound old. This is a difficult thing because on one hand, I'm all for, like you said, different relationship dynamics. And absolutely, I've seen really incredible relationships where there's quite a significant age gap. Mm. Two of my grandparents were something like 18 years apart.
Yeah.
Although I think that's partly that was more normal, maybe in their day, more common, I should say. But at the same time, I think there is something about being in similar life stages. And that sounds like it's really what you were coming up against. And that's different.
Yeah, like when you're on a date, and that's the thing, is like I'm completely open to dating. Like I've actually, like, notoriously, the people who I have relationships with or like even just kind of like little flings with have typically skewed older, like within a few years older. It's just kind of been a bit of a pattern, and I've always been more attracted to people with more experience in certain, like, just like literally, I know. As soon as I said it, I was like, God damn it. I know exactly what this sounds like. And hey, you know what? Like let's call a spade a spade. Like I do like more experience in that department as well. But like life experience as a whole, I think is just something that I'm like very attracted to, because I want somebody who has a bit more, you know, I like having people in my life who have a very strong pull to purpose and direction. I've been really fortunate to find a lot of purpose at a younger age, when a lot of people my age are still kind of trying to feel their way through, like, is this something I want to try? Okay, let me try that out. Is this something I want to try? And so I typically skewed older, but yeah, it's definitely interesting. Cause like when I've been on that date, like she was talking about like high level work stuff. And I was just like very confused. I was like, wow, like I can't believe she, you know, she's so advanced in her career for somebody so young. And then she was like, oh, I'm 30. I've been working at the same company for like 8 years. And I was like, oh, that, that checks out. You know, I'm talking about like, oh, my French paper came back and it didn't, you know, I got like a 70. And she's like, you know, and she's like, oh yeah, I had like 7 meetings today with like, you know, a couple CEOs. And I was just like, oh, cool. Like, it's weird for a 24-year-old to be doing that kind of stuff. And then sure enough, there we are.
Yeah. The date I mentioned very much continued in that way, where as much as I tried not to highlight those differences, they kept coming up. And like certain things, like me talking about work and the same thing, me being like, she asked me like what my first job was because she just recently got her first ever job. And I was like, oh, such and such. And she was like, oh, when was that? I was like,
1973.
Having to count in my brain. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, and I was working from like the age of 16 as well. So it made it sound even longer ago.
Of course.
Yeah. So no, it's challenging. It's tricky, but that's interesting.
It's so funny because even like last night, so, you know, I'll be honest with you, I'm currently trying to kick a hangover and I'm hungover as sin today. And I was talking with my friends last night because we went out and we were in line at a club, and you talked about like aging out of certain things where you're like, it just doesn't interest you like it used to. And I remember like we were standing in that line last night and I was just like looking around and every person I looked at looked like a child to me. And I was just like, I know that I'm like a year removed, 2 years removed from university. So it's not like it's like, you know, wow, like this guy's so old, but it like, some of the conversations they were having and like, they all were wearing the exact same clothes. And I just was just kind of like, ooh, like, first of all, hate hangovers now. I used to be able to, you know, overcome that in like an hour. And now it's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon and I'm still just like dragging myself through this day. So that's, you know, that's not ideal. But yeah, it's so interesting. Like I couldn't imagine dating a girl in early university right now because I just wouldn't, I don't know what we would talk about. Truly. Like there's no part of my life that like revolves around what her life revolves around. Probably. I mean, I'm generalizing, but like still it's, just doesn't appeal to me by any means. Like, feels like a lot of work.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to learn all the new terms, you know, like all the slang. Like, that seems like it's a problem I don't need. I was just saying, I've got enough problems myself. I don't need to try to, you know, add anything else to my plate.
Well, I think you're doing a very convincing job of trying to make yourself sound even older than you are. And maybe that's why the older women suit you. Maybe we're getting on to something.
Yeah. You know what? This is starting to feel a lot like a, you know, a self-discovery therapy session right now.
But I do want to circle back to that idea of like knowing yourself. And you talked about at the top of the episode, like your relationship with yourself. And one thing that I think is part of the answer of why you got that they weren't laughing at you is I think you are quite aware of your attractiveness. And I would imagine you get a fair bit of attention.
That is a astute observation, my friend.
I thought you were going to say that is a gross exaggeration.
No, I'll be honest. Like, you know, I'm a tall, like I'm 6'3", long, shaggy hair. You know, I'm in pretty good shape. I work out pretty frequently. Like I do now at this point in my life get much more attention than I did back in the day. But like, yes, I would say that I'm approached about as much as I approach other people in my day-to-day life, I guess.
And see, this is interesting to me because many of the stats you just gave, I mean, not the working out, but we're the same height. And also because I do modeling, that puts me in an industry where I get practice of being attractive and knowing my angles. And well, and also it's just like, it's how you carry yourself, right? Because I think for me, I find it so silly, the idea of attractiveness, because I've done enough work in an industry that I see how manufactured it is.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I really love my portfolio, but also I do not dress like that all the time. Yeah. You know, that's designer clothes that I can afford. And I don't have somebody in the background lighting me. I don't have a professional photographer or any of that. And that's part of the reason why I don't do selfies, because I'm just sort of like, I've set this unrealistic standard. And I'm quite happy to know that I look like that if I want to. But in the rest of my life, just not try and, do you know what I mean? Not try and sort of focus on that as much. And so I think the contrast is interesting to me, because this sort of circles back to mental health, where because I've had to work on my self-esteem around my appearance so much and basically really, really work at not hating my body.
Yeah.
I then am still at a point where I've done all that work, but I can't quite understand somebody immediately finding me attractive when I'm like, but it's so difficult to find me attractive.
Right.
Do you see what I mean? And that
100%.
Combined with the fact that I've also found oftentimes the people that their primary interest in you is your appearance aren't necessarily the ones that treat you best. You know, that's the catch. 100%. Like, so maybe, okay, I might get approached a little bit, or certain people would be like, oh, you do modeling. And you can see them do the maths in their head and be like, oh, I'd love to tell my friends and family that I have a boyfriend that does modeling.
I'm dating a model. So, you know, that's a little line right there.
But is it the attention you necessarily want?
No, no, absolutely not. I'm nobody's trophy. Get out of here. That's ridiculous. I don't want it to be like just surface level. I want it to be like, yeah, my boyfriend is, you know, a mental health advocate, you know, looking to change the way we talk about mental health. Like that's the kind of shit that I'd be like, you know, give me butterflies in my stomach if I had my girlfriend saying that kind of stuff. But if it's like, oh, I'm dating a guy who's, you know, 6'3" with a, you know, dope, you know, mustache and great hair, you know, that just doesn't tickle my fancy quite as much. I get it, man. Like, I would say that the difference between me now, because like objectively when I was in university, I would say that I was probably like more aesthetically attractive. I was like nothing but muscle. Like I was just pure, like I had like very low body fat. I was like really muscular, just as tall. I dressed pretty well. Like I would say I was probably more attractive then, but like I had no confidence and I had no comfortability in social. Like when I walk into a bar now, like I walk in as me, and I think because of that, like I've been told that I have like a really like welcoming and warm energy. I don't really know what that means, but people feel, yeah, I know, but people feel comfortable like coming up and talking to me because I don't look threatening, even with like my size. And, you know, a lot of people have been subjected to less than great things courtesy of people who probably look like me, just like very fratty guy, you know, looking kind of like surfer bro. And so like, but people feel comfortable coming up to me. And I think largely it's because of the fact that I'm like really comfortable with who I am now. Like we talked about it a little bit earlier. Like I've learned recently that I love to go dancing because like, I just love to like, I love to listen to music. I love to like flow and move like an idiot. And I think that I'm like, I'm happy with doing that. I don't feel like I need to like put off a certain level of just like, you know, sophisticated, put together, stone cold, you know, masculine man. I'm just kind of like, yeah, I just like to have fun. And like, if that's something that you're attracted to, then maybe you're attracted to me and maybe you like how I look. And then there you go. Now we're moving things along. So it honestly, like, I've become a lot more attracted and attractive to myself because of the work that I've put in. And so I think that that shows. I really think it does.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that's so attractive when you can really embrace what you like about yourself. I think other people can tell. It's such a better place to be coming from in terms of selling yourself. And you mentioned off air about the dancing thing, that part of the reason why you were sort of very self-conscious when you were younger about it was because of your height. And so these things that people would think of, oh, this is a stereotypical marker of attractiveness, not necessarily that simple, because I agree. I used to like slouch a lot. I used to have really bad posture because I was constantly around people that were smaller than me. And I felt kind of very lumbering by comparison. Yeah. And then of course it sort of took like going into the modeling industry to like, okay, now we've got to like straighten up here. And so it's a tricky one, but I'm interested in, you've seemingly more successfully embraced your attractiveness than me. But I think we have that shared thing in common of that's not the most interesting thing. Like if you think that's the most interesting thing about me, I think you've missed the point and I don't think this is a thing.
I've learned that my looks can be used for a lot of really great positives where, you know, like it sounds funny, but like I said something to one of my friends the other day. He's my roommate. We just moved to a new city together. I've have experience in a bigger city and like in a more broad dating scene. And he doesn't. He's been in small towns his whole life. And so like now that we're kind of like chatting about confidence and all of these things, what I've learned is like a lot of people will give you the chance to say something because you're attractive, because like they're like, you know, they're curious if you've, you know, got any thoughts rattling around in that pretty little head. And then like, you know, I use it as a caveat just to start talking about the things that I actually care about. Like, you know, people are, if I had the exact same podcast that I had now, our large female listenership would not quite be there, I don't think, if it wasn't for what I look like. And so I'm never going to be ashamed to be like, yeah, I think I'm a good looking guy. But yeah, like, it's open doors. And I just hope that like once that door is just cracked open, that like who I am apart from my looks is what's holding the door open and what's like actually Absolutely. Inviting people
yeah,
in.
You got some points right there because that okay, is
there we go. Chalk one up for the good guys.
That I think a lot of my perspective on this comes down to. That is very scary to me, the idea that there would be some kind of like pressure and expectation around your attractiveness. Beauty standards are so narrow and so oppressive and impossible to reach and based on Photoshop and filters and all these things to the point where, you know, I can tell you firsthand, the models don't even look like the models. And so I'm hyper aware of that sort of stuff as well. And so I think part of how I've kind of coped with body dysmorphia is to really resist that and be like, okay, how can I look like myself? That's the thing I'm going to commit to. I want to look like me. I want some of my kind of creativity and my outlook on the world to be represented in the way that I dress and present myself. And I want to play around with my appearance because that feels fun and free. Whereas the idea that you've got to conform to impossible, narrow beauty standards that are also somehow ever-changing.
Yeah.
That feels really oppressive.
Yeah.
And so I have experienced times where people want me to look kind of like a generic Ken doll.
Right.
And I'm like, but I
right.
have had to work so hard to think I'm not disgusting to look at. So then the idea that you're saying, okay, I need to present myself in this very narrow way.
Right.
That's scary. Because you reminded me of it when you said about looking back at where you looked kind of potentially more generically attractive.
Yeah.
And I think that's good to be aware of. But if you felt the need to only look like that for the rest of your life, that's where things get dicey because of course we age. Yeah. Of course we look different with time.
Yeah. I think it's a funny little difference in my opinion between being hot and being sexy, because being hot, I think is, and I can see your face. I think this is, you know, I can tell that hot and sexy, you know, you're like, oh, where's this guy going with this? That was a podcaster face right there. I know that face because I make that face where somebody brings something up and you're like,
the head tilt was because going? I was like, okay, this will be interesting. Let's hear him explain how sexy he is and find a way to quantify that.
Hot versus sexy. Yeah, like it's kind of like how I would explain, like, so like basically in university, I was hotter. I checked more of those like societal standards of beauty boxes. And as I started to become more comfortable with myself, I think that's where it's like somebody who is sexy is somebody who is comfortable in their skin and comfortable in all of what that is and is accepting and loving of every, like, I am not nearly as shredded as I was. I still work out a lot because I love to work out and I love to move my body and be strong. But like, you know, since university, I've put on like a couple pounds. Like I don't have a six pack anymore. Like it just like, I don't look as similar, but I'm so much more comfortable with who I am. And I'm so much more, I move in a way that is right for me. And I dress in a way that is right for me. And I eat in a way that is right for me. And I work out in a way that is right for me. And I talk to people who I think are right for me. And I've just embraced who I am. And I've embraced the goods, the bads, the uglies, the everything. And I think that has made me sexy versus hot, and I fucking love being sexy.
That went where I thought it was going to go at the end there, and I love it. I love that for you.
Yeah.
Whereas actually the stuff that keeps that person there every day isn't, oh yeah, they're still hot. It's, oh, what's the chemistry here? What's my connection? Yeah. How well we know each other? How much we look out for each other? How much we've got in common? And that sounds like more of what you're putting under the sexy banner.
Yeah, 100%. Anybody can go and buy a poster of a hot guy and put it up in their room, but they're not going to date the poster for 5 years. Like, you can, you know, you can look good, of course, but like, if that's, and even like, I've had previous relationships. I think this is a really good kind of, first of all, I want to preface this entire, what I'm going to talk about right now, with saying, if you're with somebody who does not celebrate the sexiness that is, you know, within you and that is you, it's not...
I've had relationships in the past where the person was very...
What were you going to say? Know. Were you trying to find an intellectual way of saying, fuck that?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, like, if somebody's not cherishing, like, every, like, the like, everything, not cherishing as a person, which, like, nobody's perfect, and if they're, you know... It's just like, you know, when you're, oh, fuck, as a podcaster, like, I have like 10 different things that I want to talk about in my head right now. And they're all like fighting for my, you know, fighting for the opportunity to just come launching out of my mouth into a microphone. So I'm like bouncing back and forth. But yes, if somebody's not celebrating who you are, then fuck them. Because that's, you know, that's not the kind of shit that you need in your life. Because I promise you that there's a lot of people out there who will enjoy every ounce of who you are, and I think that that's great. I've had previous relationships in the past where my partner was always very adamant about if she didn't look a certain way, she wanted me to tell her. She wanted me to say like, oh, I don't want, I, you know, oh, you've done, you look like you've put on some weight. Like, she was like adamant about like, if I am starting to like be lazy with my gym regimen or whatever, like, I want you to tell me. And so that pressure of feeling like I, you know, and I never did, because I thought she was the fucking, I, you know, here's for all the millennials out there, I thought she was the bee's knees. Gen Zers might not get that one. But yeah, I thought this girl was great. So I never told her, but like that pressure that she thought that way about herself made me think the same way about myself, where I was like, okay, she's trying to adhere to a certain standard. So now I have to adhere to a certain standard. And it was just like, it just wasn't great. But I've been going out with a girl recently who one of the first few times that we had sex, like, she was like very affectionate to parts of my body that like I've been very self-conscious of, like in the past, which were like things like my stomach, where it's like I used to have a six pack and now it's like, you know, just a normal, I'm using quotation marks there, like a normal stomach. Like, she and just like, would, you know, she was just really cool in that way. And I was just like, you know what, that's just like a great thing to like celebrate somebody's body, but not in like a objective way, just in like an appreciation way. And I just thought that that was cool. I just wanted to share.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that is the thing. It's about your attractiveness not being conditional, because that's a big part of where these fears come from.
Yeah, and absolutely.
And so that's really cool. But you've also highlighted something that I've definitely experienced as well, where somebody can set a standard of judgment in a relationship without even realizing. And often it's a place from their own insecurities. It's not actually to do with something that would be reciprocated. So she probably thought that you sticking around was dependent on her body looking a very specific way, far more specific than you, and I would say blokes in general, are paying attention to. You know, we're delighted to be there. And as long as you broadly look like what we thought
what
you...
What a great way of putting it. I'm just happy to be there. I'm just happy to be here, folks. Oh, that's funny. I had to make a point. That's great.
No, but I think it is, without wanting to be too stereotypical about it, like Catlin Moran, a wonderful writer that I love, wrote about at one point how dating is so different for women, because you are ultimately in a world where it's been very normalized that men are the ones that most commonly are the people that hurt women. And there's a lot of things that are a danger to you, you know, physically in a lot of ways, you know, not just being attacked by somebody that is on average bigger and stronger than you would be, but also somebody that can get you pregnant and do different kinds of harm in that way, that they're not going to get pregnant. That's not a risk for them. And so she described it as like, sometimes you feel like you're trying to date bears and you're out there being like, which one of these is least likely to kill me?
Damn.
And it's quite scary to think about it in that way as well for me as a guy, because of course you don't want it to be that way. You don't want to be seen in that way. You want women to feel safe around you. But also we live in a culture where a lot of these stereotypes of masculinity being so tied to aggression are very bedded in. And certain things like, you know, be careful if you're walking home late at night as a woman because a man might attack you. I don't think at times that outrages men as much as it should.
Yeah.
Because as one of them, that makes me really mad that that's a stereotype that's been so normalized and seen as something that is so solid that it has to be put on women to change their behavior because what, we can't get our shit together as a gender? Like that.
Absolutely.
That pisses me off. Where was my point going? I've got talking about a favorite writer and now.
I'm not sure, but I love the fact that you brought it up because I think that it's something that I've actually like, it's something that I've struggled with because obviously like being a frat-esque looking guy, big, tall, strong,
and you're also really sporty.
And I'm super sporty. Like
you're not fitting none of the stereotypes.
No, and so that's the thing. It's like I'm checking like a lot of like, you know, boxes that have been checked by some really dodgy characters in the past. I think that was always something that I was really worried about is like I never wanted to come off that way. And I think that like largely for me personally, just kind of, I became more comfortable with like calling it out once I kind of really had like a solid foundation of like who I know in my soul that I am, which is just like wanting to see the improved health and the betterment of everybody. And when I, you know, when I have so many of my female friends or past partners or whoever talk about the horrendous experiences that they've had with men, I'm like always just like, God, like that's, yeah, it's tough, man. It's such a tricky thing. And I think that like one of the reasons I'm so proud of what I've done with my platform is I've really tried to show men that you don't have to fall into some, you know, aggressive behaviors or some objectifying behaviors of women to be valued as a man, because that shit's played out. Like, you know, you can be what I would describe as a mental health boy and still have, you know, plenty of dating opportunities and still have great relationships with the men in your life and still be sporty and still be, you know, somebody who loves a lot of like traditionally masculine things without adhering to traditionally masculine narratives to be valued then and there, I guess.
That part. Yeah. More points.
Just keep them coming, honestly, at this point. I'm trying to set some records here.
And you also gave me a chance to remember where I was going with that, because what
Fantastic.
I went on a bit of a tangent, but what I'll circle back to now is this idea of like setting standards of judgment in a relationship. And
yes,
that sounds like very much what happened with you with that ex, where because of her insecurities, thinking that, you know, she had to present in a very narrow way. And I'm not saying, of course, beauty standards are narrow. Of course, there's so much pressure on women to look a certain way. But in practice, in a relationship, oftentimes the guy that you're with is not as strict as the beauty magazines, because he doesn't know what eyeliner is. You know, there's a lot of things that he is not noticing, and he's delighted you're there and that you've allowed him in. And I think that's where I was going with the bears anecdote, that a lot of the time, that's why I use that phrase, we're delighted to be there. We're in your bed, we're in your safe space, and we understand, if I think we're good enough guys, we understand what a privilege that is, and that we need to be looking out for you, not analyzing your body for any excuse to run away into the night. That's not really in our best interest. All of that to say this, what I think that can create is, out of somebody's insecurities, whatever they come from, you can create an insecure environment in the relationship where if you are there thinking, if you're hearing, oh, she really thinks I'm going to judge her, then it can make it feel like, oh, this isn't as safe a space as I thought. Is she judging my body in that way?
Absolutely. You know?
And I've definitely been on those kind of dates, for example. It can start even in that early stage where you notice that somebody's really like watching what they say, or they're really holding back on information, or they're being really precise with how they're cutting their food into tiny little chunks to be all critiqued. And it can put you on edge because then you feel you have to do the same.
100%. That's my super attractive roommate who just came home, who I was telling you about earlier. Yeah, it's so true. And I think that that's something that like is such a priority for me in any relationship that I get into. You know, I preface that, you know, the I'll call it a recent fling that I had talked about a little bit earlier, that, you know, one of the things that is so unbelievably important to me is like cultivating, and like I use the word cultivating very specifically because like it takes work. It's like you literally like it is you have to tend to it like you would a plant or a garden or something. But like cultivating a environment of like openness and authenticity and appreciation, those are things that I think are just the most important things, because like if I'm getting to know somebody, like I want to get to know you without the distractions of I have to be this certain way for this person. Like I never want to ever feel like I'm imposing any kind of standards on somebody that they have to hit, and it's a condition of me staying around and with them. And I think that like I'm very attracted to people's I love to know what makes somebody them. And I think that like that can only happen when they feel comfortable telling you, and it won't happen until then. And so if I can create that environment, cultivate that environment with them, I think that it's so important to me, because I'm like, I want you. Like I want you. I don't want the version of you that you think you need to be. Like I want you, whoever that is, let's figure it out, because I think that person's sexy.
Yeah, there you go. And so we will start wrapping up with our rules of the game.
Whew, so many.
Wow, you're on a roll so far, right? I love that last point. In fact, more points for that there for your target.
Thank you. I love it. Awesome.
So do you have something that you try and live by in dating or relationships that you could recommend?
Oh dude, there's literally like a laundry list. I'll send you a short form paper, cited and everything.
Okay, we're gonna have a lot of show notes, it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that like the one biggest thing that I would say is like, I've talked about it like multiple times throughout this episode. It is like, you are gonna have the one relationship where you never have the chance to break up. You never, like you are with that person 100% is you. It is one of those things where if you are not ready to work on the relationship with yourself, I don't think that you're ready to work on a relationship with another person. Because if you can definitely still be figuring yourself out while you're in a relationship, but like if you have to put that work in, you have to have that relationship with yourself in a place that you understand. It might not be necessarily the most concrete, stable relationship with yourself. I mean, hell, mine, it sure as hell isn't. I've got a little pill bottle in the cabinet that helps me with that, you know, battling some of the demons, let's just say, like with my OCD. But I think you just have to have it. You just have to work on that relationship with yourself, and you will find that it is so much easier to talk with people, to approach people, to be intimate with people. That was a huge aspect of my life. Like, it's so much easier to enjoy what relationships and love and dating and sex can be when you've got you locked down first. So I would say that anybody out there who's going through the process of a relationship or whatever it may be, like, you know, always think, it sounds stereotypically like selfish, but always think of yourself first, and always like think about your health and your just who you are, and embrace it and be it and love it and learn to love it, work on it. It's my rules of the game.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I think what I would add to the way that you phrase that is there can be an important distinction between, you don't have to be, you know, perfectly worked on. Of course, none of us are. But
exactly. I never will be, yeah.
I think the thing that rules it out potentially, if we were to kind of make it a more hard and fast rule, would be, are you willing to examine your own behavior and who you are and work on it? Because I think that's the thing that really rules somebody out. If they are coming into the dating pool and they're like, oh no, I think I'm fucked up, but I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm just going to be here until I find somebody who can put up with it.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like a good start.
No, No, definitely not. Yeah, I know that that was a really long rule, but I think that's a good way of, you know, good way of summing it up for sure.
Well, I've had a lot of practice, and actually I have a rule that is completely unrelated, but something that I've been thinking about recently, which is,
yes, absolutely,
to watch out when you're on the dating apps, because one of the things that I've found recently is that I am there finding them annoying and then looking at the time and realizing it's 1 a.m. And that's probably a big factor in it, because I'm not going to send anyone a message at that time, right? Because this is one of the things, I think, particularly as a guy, you try and put a lot of thought into not being a creep. And so I'm not going to be messaging somebody if we match at 1 a.m. I'm going to put it off. And the fact that I'm on a dating app at that time of night in the first place maybe raises some questions about, like, do you have time for this? Yeah. Or, like, you know, are you up late at night and you're tired and this is something entertaining to do with your hands? And it's like the apps are already gamified enough without me treating it like scrolling through Instagram.
Yeah.
When I'm not tired enough to sleep.
It's so funny. I've been on and off dating apps for a while, and it's so not for me. It really isn't like the dating app, because I really do just treat it as like I'm bored. I'm scrolling. I hardly ever like actually message people I match with. It's literally a game. And that's when I was like kind of realizing, I was like, if I'm treating it as a game and that's not like the purpose of it, like I think that that's, you know, not necessarily the best mindset to have of something like that. So like I don't really use them as much anymore, because I did find like gamified. When you said gamified, I lit up, because I was like, that's such a good way of putting it. Like, it's already so flashy, and like, look at the lights and big match comes up and, you know, gives you that shot of serotonin, or, you know, all those happy chemicals, and then all of a sudden you're right back at it and you're just swiping away. So just, it's not for me personally. I'd much rather meet people in a more traditional sense. I find it's a lot easier. And plus, like, I also don't like small talk over the phone with somebody I don't know. Cause I'm just like, I'm just taking complete shots in the dark here. Like, how's the weather been? Like, yeah, we're a snooze fest of a conversation inbound. So I'm like, what's even the point? Like, I'm not going to do anything here. So anyway, yeah. Not my cup of tea, but totally, yeah, good, well put, for sure.
Yeah, and I get that, but I think also what you're highlighting there is it's kind of got to be, you've got to make it your cup of tea, right? Yeah, if you're going to commit to it, you need to commit to it properly. And so for me, there's absolutely times when I'm on them and I'm taking it seriously, and there's times when I'm not. And I find that's an important distinction to have, because when you're in the middle stage of like, I'm waiting for a bus, I'm going to swipe through now. Like, you're not going to start a meaningful connection.
Yeah.
The bus is going to turn up and you're going to get on with your day. And, you know, the notifications are just going to get buried. So
yeah.
I think that's been something I've been trying to be more conscious of. Okay. If you're going to be on here, do it properly.
Yeah. That's my problem. Yeah, absolutely. Use it with intention.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we will wrap up there. We will come back for our 10 minutes for the subscribers, because you mentioned something about sex that I want to ask you about.
All right.
He doesn't look scared. He looks excited, I promise. So if people want to hear more of your lovely voice, if they want to go look you up on Instagram and decide for themselves if they agree you're attractive.
Hot or sexy.
Yeah, which one is he?
Or neither. I mean, yeah.
Where can people find you online?
At Morzy. I'm most active on Instagram, and you know, speaking on the very sporty, fratty, you know, names, Morzy, a nickname I got when I was younger. It's MOORZYYY on Instagram and TikTok as well. And Twitter, I don't know. We'll save Twitter for another time, because I can't remember what my ad is on Twitter. But yes, please go check out the podcast. I'd honestly love to hear from any and all of you. We have some really great conversations about mental health with special guests in a way that's casual and fun and open, and a lot. It's an easy foray into the world of mental health, which can be kind of overwhelming sometimes. So we try to have some fun with it, and it's a project that I'm very, very proud of. So it's Life's a Wreck is the name of the podcast. You can find it on any podcasting platform, and our Instagram is @Life's a Wreck Podcast.
Oh, look at that. That was a perfect plug. The professional comedians I usually speak to do not plug themselves. The amount of them that have had to check their ads, and I'm like, your agent's going to be mad at you.
Well, yeah, no, I'm still working on getting them all memorized. I wish I just had them all coherently the same thing, so I didn't have to worry about it. But funny enough, somebody out there on Twitter had at Morsey locked down. So I think it's just like my name and like some numbers, but I can't remember them right now. But yeah, it's, you know, lots of practice as a podcaster plugging yourself for sure.
We'll get you there. We'll get you famous enough. I'm sure Twitter can pull some strings.
We'll make it work. We'll make it work.
All right. Well, we'll wrap up there. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it, man.
Thanks for listening.
You can support the show, get ad-free episodes and bonus content by joining our new subscription on Apple Podcasts.
This replaces our Patreon and it's slightly cheaper.
Our show is edited and produced by Pete Murta,
with music by the brilliant Tessa Violet.
Speak to you next Friday. Until then, good luck out there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.